The first perek of Mishnah's Kilayim discusses the ideas of various forbidden mixtures and what one can and cannot mix together, and the framework within which we can do that, as we have just previously learned. The second perek looks to examine exactly what kind of measurements we're talking about to create a forbidden mixture. Is one grain of barley and one grain of wheat enough to count as a forbidden mixture? Is it 2-1, 3-1, etc.? So without further ado, we will look at the first Mishnah of the second perek of Kilayim. Kol sa jayesh bo rova mimin acher imaet. So the Mishnah explains that any sa, which is a measurement, in which there is a quarter of a different kind, it must be reduced. While there are different precise definitions of these measurements, we will work roughly on the theory that one sa equals six kav. An egg's bulk is often used as a way of the Gemara for, you know, giving a standard measuring tool. So the idea is that there are approximately 24 eggs in one kav, which means there are approximately 144 eggs in one sa'a, if that visualization helps at all. So assuming the egg imagery works, then if you have six eggs out of 144, that would be enough, according to the Tanna Kamma, for you to be in a situation where you have a forbidden mixture. So again, if you had 144 eggs worth of barley, if you simply had six eggs worth of wheat, you would be in a situation of a forbidden mixture. Now, the interesting language about this Mishnah is yima'et, which means you must reduce it. In general, we know it is forbidden to deliberately mix a forbidden item together with something permitted in order to remove this prohibition. However, that's exactly what our Mishnah seems to be telling us to do. If you have six eggs worth of barley and 144 eggs worth of, or excuse me, you know, less than that actually, 138 eggs worth of wheat, then the Mishnah seems to be implying that either you can remove some of the eggs or you can add to the wheat eggs and you can end up with a permitted mixture. The Yerushalmi, as explained by the Rosh, makes it clear that this Mishnah is only talking about a rabbinic prohibition of the forbidden mixture. And as biblically, okay, under the concept of Doraisa, it's only if one were to add wheat to barley, for example, that for the purposes of planting it, that you're going to be over the Isser Doraisa of Kilayim. However, if it was completely accidental that a little wheat was mixed in with your barley or vice versa, or again, any other example, then biblically that would not count at all. Because the wheat was not mixed with the barley in order to plant a mixture. Rather, it has absolutely no significance to the person doing the planting. If anything, maybe they prefer that it wasn't there at all. So biblically, in a situation like that, you are not over any type of iser. However, rabbinically, the rabbis came along and prohibited this, lest it come to look like somehow this person was, in fact, intentionally planting a forbidden mixture. At this stage, the rabbis basically said no one interested in planting a forbidden mixture would mix in less than 1/24 of a diverse kind, and therefore they were not interested in prohibiting or enacting a rabbinic decree against that idea. So option one of understanding our Mishnah, or the beginning of our Mishnah according to the Rosh, is that biblically one is allowed to plant a mixture that has a small amount of something else in it, as long as the person has no interest in doing so. However, rabbinically, they're prevented from doing so. They're prevented from doing so rabbinically because they don't want anyone to look like they're intentionally planting a forbidden mixture. And the rabbi has set the number low enough that basically six eggs out of 144, or 1/24 of the mixture. At that stage, even the rabbis felt that no one would look at this field and think that a person was intentionally planting a forbidden mixture. Because we're dealing with a rabbinic prohibition rather than a biblical prohibition, the Mishnah comes to let us know that you can add additional grain to the majority to allow us to nullify the minority, because by a rabbinic prohibition, there's no problem of nullification. The Tosfos Yom Tov actually disagrees rather strenuously with the Rosh. Tosfos Yom Tov believes that any time anybody plants anything where their goal is not to plant a forbidden mixture, and as I simply, even if it's a 1-to-1 ratio, if there's one wheat grain and one barley grain, but the farmer is just planting, he wants the wheat, he doesn't care about the barley, and he simply can't be bothered to remove the barley, then biblically they wouldn't be over any kind of prohibition for that. However, the rabbis came along and forbade this, and they forbade it at a mixture where the diverse kinds constituted at least 1/24. According to Tosfos Yom Tov, then, this 1 in 24, or 6 eggs out of 144 eggs, if that helps you, is a more arbitrary number picked by the rabbis. Rosh would say that they picked this number because they did not want it to appear like somebody was intentionally planting their field with forbidden mixture. And the Tosfos Yom Tov says that they simply pick this number as a mark against which you could be over the rabbinic prohibition of planting diverse kinds. The conclusion being the same, however, that it is ultimately a rabbinic prohibition, therefore you are allowed to nullify the forbidden mixture, the forbidden rabbinic mixture, by adding. So again, if you have X amount, if you have 144 eggs worth of, or 136 eggs worth of wheat, and 6 eggs worth of barley, you can add more wheat until you nullify the prohibited mixture, because by rabbinic prohibition there's no problem of nullification. Our Mishnah Aleph, however, Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yavor. So Rabbi Yossi says, actually, you have to remove it. So our Tana Kama feels that one can nullify the forbidden rabbinically forbidden mixture by adding additional amounts of the appropriate grain to the mix. Rav Yossi disagrees and says that no, you actually have to remove the grain that you do not want. Our Mishnah continues, Bein Minin Echad, Bein Minin. So both the Tana Kama and Rav Yossi agree that it is irrelevant whether we are talking about one type or two kinds that are making up the bulk of forbidden mixture. So again, if you have 144 eggs worth of wheat and 6 of those eggs worth is barley, then everybody agrees that either the Tana Kama says you have to add more wheat, or Rav Yossi says you have to remove some of the barley. However, what if you have 144 or 136 eggs worth of wheat, and you have 3 eggs worth of barley and 3 eggs worth of spelt? In a situation like that, the question is, do those spelt and barley add up to making the rabbinically prohibited amount? Rabbi Shimon comes along and disagrees. Still in Mishnah Aleph, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lo Amru, Ela Mimin Echad. So Rabbi Shimon says, no, they're only talking about one specific kind. So according to Rabbi Shimon, different kinds cannot be added together to make up the quarter kav in the Seah. So according to Rav Shimon, if you had 3 eggs worth of barley and 3 eggs worth of spelt, you would not be able to add them up to include them in the 136 eggs worth of wheat. Rather, each one on their own is too small an amount to justify needing to either remove or to nullify. And therefore, in theory, you could have 6 eggs worth of non-wheat and still not be over any kind of prohibition of forbidden mixture. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Shimon, however. The Chachamim say, Kol Shehu Kilayim Bisea Mitzaref Lerova. So the Chachamim say, any amount of Kilayim in the Sea can be added together to constitute the Rova, the quarter kav of forbidden mixture. The Chachamim actually constitute a third position. They believe that only kinds which are kilayim with the predominant component of the seah can be included in the quarter kav of foreign seed, which disqualifies the seah for planting. So if we have a mixture of 136 eggs worth of barley, and you had 3 eggs worth of oats and 3 eggs worth of spelt, then according to the Chachamim, you would not be in trouble, because oats are not kilayim with barley. If you remember back from our first parak, there are certain things that we talked about, the idea of same species, they have to have 3 categories in common, and if they do, then they are not considered kilayim one with the other. So in a situation, according to the Chachamim, where you have not the bulk of the amount being, again, for example, the barley, but some of the bulk being a different species but not kilayim, then you do not add those one to the other. So to summarize, the Tanakhama says that you add anything that is not the bulk. So if 136 eggs worth is wheat or barley or whatever, then you add up any other types of seed to make up the rabbinic mixture. So the Tanakhama wouldn't care if you have oats and spelt, even though oats and barley are not kilayim one with the other. Rav Shimon says that he takes the exact opposite approach and says, no, every single individual different seed is counted on its own. So in theory, you could have three of spelt and three of oats and three of rye and three of something else. And as long as individually each one of these did not make up enough of the amount that there's a forbidden mixture rabbinically, then you're fine. The Chachamim come along and say, well, kind of a middle ground, we do believe in adding various types of seeds together to qualify for making a prohibited rabbinic mixture. However, those types of seeds have to be considered kilayim with the main amount. So again, if you have something like barley, then oats would not be counted according to the Chachamim. So according to Chachamim, oats would not be counted, spelt would be counted. According to Rav Shimon, oats wouldn't be counted and spelt wouldn't be counted. And according to the Tanakhama, oats and spelt would be counted. Mishnah Bet, Perek Bet, comes along and looks to qualify or clarify the statement in Mishnah Aleph, which is that a seah of seeds, which includes a quarter kav of diverse kinds, may not be planted. So in our previous Mishnah, we learned that if one had 136 eggs worth of wheat and 6 eggs worth of barley, that you could not be planted as is. Our new Mishnah, Mishnah Bet, comes along and discusses this further. Bame devarim umrim, with regard to what are we talking? Tevua bitvua, so grain with grain. Vekitnit, vekitnit, legumes with legumes. Tevua bikitnit, and legumes with grains. So according to the rabbis, seeds can be divided into two groups, edible seeds and non-edible seeds. Edible seeds are usually broken down into two categories, tevua and kitniot. Tevua being grain and kitniot being legumes. Tevua primarily refers to wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. And kitniot includes all other seeds which are going to be eaten, for example, beans and peas and rice, etc. Therefore, our Mishnah, Mishnah Bet, comes and clarifies or explains that Mishnah Aleph applies to any possible combination of edible seeds mixed one with the other. One type of grain with another, one type of legume with another, or grain mixed with legumes. Our Mishnah continues, Be'emes Amru, in truth they say, which usually implies a halacha Moshe Masinai, Zerone Gina, She'enan Mechalin, Starfin Echad, Be'esrim Ve'arba, Nofel Lebeis Sa. Which literally means those garden seeds which are not eaten combine to 1/24 of what is sown in a Beit Seah. Garden seeds being a term referring to the seeds of plants which are not eaten, but the plant is. So a apple tree seed would not count here because the tree itself is not eaten, the seed is not eaten, the fruit is eaten. But a turnip or a carrot would count because while the seed is not eaten, the carrot in fact is, you know, the body of the plant is edible. This ends up being a much smaller number than we had been talking about originally. Originally, in our first Mishnah, or at the beginning of our second Mishnah, we were talking about the idea of a quarter kav, which is equivalent to about 6 eggs bulk worth. According to the Rambam, only about 1.5 kavs were planted of garden seed in a Beis Seah. So 36 eggs bulk total would be planted in an entire Beis Seah. So 1/24 of 36 eggs is substantially less than the 6 eggs, or the quarter kav we had originally been discussing when planting regular vegetables. So the Rambam actually learns out two important concepts here. One, instead of a quarter kav, which we've been discussing earlier, used for grains and legumes, is only 1/24 of what is sown in a garden, which is, again, a very small amount. And two, you can actually combine different garden seeds together to come up to that amount. Rabbi Shimon continues in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kashem Sha'amru Lahachmir, Kach Amru Lahakel. So Rabbi Shimon says, just as they say to be stringent, so too they mean to be lenient. So Rabbi Shimon does not approach this as meaning that we are always more stringent in the case of garden seed over the seeds of legumes, but rather, when 1/24 of what is sown in Beis Seah equals less than a quarter kav, then we are more machmir. However, if 1/24 of the quantity normally planted in a base seah is greater than a quarter kav, then a mixture will only be forbidden if the garden seeds are present in that greater quantity. So normally, as Rambam explains, only 1.5 kav are planted normally in a base seah. If for some reason you are planting much more than that, and that comes up to a number greater than the regular understanding of a quarter kav, then we would not forbid the mixture one from the other. However, the bulk of the time, it seems like we end up with a greater stringency based on the small amount of garden seed that one plants in a base seah. The Mishnah continues with an example. Hapishtan, so flax, atvua, found in grain, mitstarafet chad, srimva arba, benofel, lebeis sa'ah. So flax and grain combines to 1/24 of what is sown in a base sa'ah. And the Mishnah is giving an example of a situation where one would be more lenient for garden seed than the grain and legumes, as the quantity of flax seed normally sown in a base sa'ah is 3 sa'ahs. Thus, 1/24 of the quantity of flax sown in a base seah is 3/4 kav, which, if you remember, is far greater than the original quarter kav we were discussing for legumes. However, here we see a garden seed such as flax, which is planted in a greater quantity than the 1.5 kav that we'd been discussing possibly earlier for garden seeds, does not render a seah of wheat forbidden until there are at least 3/4 kav of flax seed in the seah. And that concludes Mishnah Bet.